Christian hit music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Evening, we thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben, and I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. So it's a privilege to come your way Saturday evenings, and we always have to thank God for the gift of life. Indeed, it's always a joy to come this evening as we continue our series, and we've been on this deception series, and it looks like every other day gives a reason why it's important we look at these things, because the deception is just on another level, increasing all around us. We see it in the, you know, on the airwaves, online, and all that. And it's just unfortunate how people keep falling for these. You know, we see all sorts of strange things, you know, and, well, I believe Christians have to, you know, as some will say, shine your eyes. We have to shine our eyes, because the devil is really out there to deceive. I mean, it's one of his character traits. He's a deceiver. So as to how believers can think our enemy is not a deceiver, it's something else. But we have to be aware of the fact that deception is one of his character traits, and he is good at it indeed. So we shouldn't allow ourselves to be victims of it. So we've been looking at the series of this Beware of the Deception. We've looked at 9 keys. Tonight we are looking at the 10th key. But first we look at the news, what's happening in the news, a lot of things happening. And one strange one that is important we look at least, you know, okay, I'll get there and we'll just talk about it. You know, it's just amazing how these globalists do their things. They don't hide it. They just do it knowing, well, the masses are not aware. Masses are not interested in knowing the truth, and they always have their way. Okay, so let's start with this unfortunate one in Sudan. Where Sudan facing worst levels of acute food insecurity ever recorded. That's unfortunate. Many in Sudan are forced to fight over ant hills for food, as the country faces one of the worst levels of food insecurity ever recorded, according to Global Evangelical Humanitarian Organization World Vision. Edgar Sandoval, president and CEO of World Vision USA, US, told the Christian Post in a recent interview that life in Sudan is currently one of fear and chaos as the country faces the harsh realities of civil war and the brink of famine. In addition to the threat of violence, the Integrated Food Security Phase classification reported that 25.6 million people in Sudan are facing high levels of acute food insecurity, and 8.5 million are facing emergency food shortages. That's very unfortunate. Then the next one, Hamas. This article is very interesting, gives some perspective of history about, you know, Israel and the Middle East and what is happening. So Hamas, Hezbollah, and Tehran, that's Iran, are fighting for an Islamic caliphate or empire. I mean, it says that if you are among those who believe that widespread recognition of a Palestinian nationwide would resolve the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, be reminded that this is an idea that has been tried and found wanting. For example, in 1947 November, the UN General Assembly recommended partitioning Western Palestine, that's Eastern Palestine, having been given over years earlier to what would become the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, into two states, one for Palestinian Arabs and the other for the Palestinian Jews. Jewish leaders accepted the recommendation. The Arab leaders rejected it. Palestinian Jews knew what total Arab control of Palestine would mean for them. In 1929, Palestinian Arabs had carried out a terrible pogrom akin to that of October 7th, that's last year, what happened, the attack against the Palestinian Jews in Hebron. In 1936, the Arab revolt included terrorist attacks not just against the British, who had replaced the Ottoman Empire as the Palestine's rulers, but also against Jews. By the conclusion of the Six-Day War, Israel had taken Gaza from Egypt and the West Bank from Jordan. The West Bank, by the way, had been known by its biblical names Judea and Samaria before those territories were conquered by Jordan in 1948 war. Following that conquest, Jordan expelled the Jews, destroyed the synagogues, and desecrated Jewish cemeteries and shrines. In the aftermath of the 1967 war, the Arab League issued what became known as the Three No's. No peace with Israel, no negotiation with Israel, no recognition of Israel. Today, Israel's most consequential conflict is with Iran's rulers, who fund, arm, and instruct Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and Hezbollah. Hezbollah, based in southern Lebanon, has been rocketing northern Israel since October 8. The Houthi rebels in Yemen and the Shia militias in Syria and Iraq are also proxies of Tehran. For 45 years, Iran's self-proclaimed jihadists have vowed death to Israel and death to America, the slogan of the Houthis. God is greatest, death to America, death to Israel, a curse upon the Jews, victory to Islam. Unquote. Could there be more explicit rejection of a two-state solution? Is it not indisputable that what Iran's rulers and their minions want instead is a final solution, the Nazi term for the extermination of Jews? Iran's rulers believe the world is divided into Dar al-Islam, and that's the countries ruled by Muslims, and Dar al-Harb, the countries ruled by non-believers who must be fought and conquered. Israel is the only slice of land between Morocco and Pakistan not ruled by Muslims. To an Islamist, such diversity is intolerable. The various peace processes have ignored these inconvenient truths. The Oslo Accords of the 1990s, agreements between Israel and the PLO set up by the Palestinian Authority to govern part of Gaza, Judea, and Samaria. Its main problem has not been that Israel and the United States have refrained from granting it formal recognition as a nation state. Hamas' goal has not been nation building. Its goal has been, and still is, to create an emirate from the river to the sea, to be included in a new caliphate and empire. This is why any solution to the multiple conflicts now underway in the Middle East must begin with the destruction of Hamas's military and governing capabilities. More challenging but essential, neutralizing the new imperialist and openly genocidal regime in Tehran, that you should note is now firmly allied with Beijing, Moscow, and Pyongyang. And this is where when you understand the history and you understand the agenda and the motive, then you know that this whole thing is not just about Israel being the bad person, as they make the media and the liberals make it look like. But there's a grand agenda to exterminate Israel, to clear Israel out of the whole place. They want to control the place, a complete caliphate, that whole zone. And you know what, the signs that we are seeing, the hatred for Jews worldwide, the anti-Semitism and all that, it's all, they are behind it. There's an agenda to the hatred, spark the hatred, incites the hatred against Jews and all. So interesting times we live in, and the West is ahead, because eventually Jews will have to move in from various countries to Israel itself, because they'll be safer there than to be in some parts of Europe and elsewhere. And that's, it's all part of what's happening. All right, so the next one we have: China sends record number of warplanes across U.S. drone boundary in Taiwan Strait. So China sent a record number of warplanes across a U.S. drone boundary in the Taiwan Strait, a move that comes as the new president of the archipelago mulls a trip that may include a stop in America. Some 56 aircraft crossed the so-called median line as of early Thursday, the Ministry of National Defense in Taipei said on X social media sites. Taiwanese aircraft, naval vessels, and missile systems were used in response to the flights by the People's Liberation Army, the military added, without providing details on what that entailed. The archipelago's armed forces have a close grasp of the dynamics of the sea and airspace surrounding the Taiwan Strait, including the actions of the PLA aircraft and ships, Ministry spokesperson Sun Linfang told reporters later in the day. As for the wars, it's like some people are just not comfortable if there are no wars in the world. Taiwan plays on high alert over waves of missile tests conducted in northern China. China is really, really gearing up, because they see that America is at its weakest point now, so they can do what they want to do. Because if you have a president who doesn't know what's this week, it was so embarrassing. I mean, calling Zelensky Putin, right in front of Zelensky, you are calling Zelensky Putin. I mean, and calling your vice president Trump. I mean, the man should by now be in a home care, being taken care of, playing with his grandchildren. But he's so stubborn. He insists he still wants to be the president of U.S. And it's something else for the U.S. now. All right, so we have China again set to release killer robots into battle within 2 years. So China is on course to deploy killer robots into battle within 2 years. It has been declared and claimed. The warning came as the communist state revealed it had developed robotic dogs equipped with machine guns. Defense analyst Francis Tusa said China was not hindered by fears over AI, which would see them come up with a new ship design, new submarine designs, new fighter aircraft designs at a rate which is dizzling. Wow, they are moving 4 or 5 times faster than the US. He said, "We are at the start of the race in truly autonomous systems. I would be surprised if we don't see autonomous machines coming out of China in 2 years. The robotic gun dog made by a Chinese firm was unveiled last month during a military exercise with the Cambodian military. You know, and talking of AI, it's something. This week, I'm sure this will shock some. The first Miss AI, we have Miss Universe, Miss World, Miss whatever virus. The first Miss AI, global Miss AI competition. And after the judges of the world's first AI beauty pageant unveiled 10 finalists, the inaugural Miss AI has now been crowned. And when I saw the pictures, it's amazing. I mean, the way the technology is going, creating humans, the beauty and all meets, and it's like this robotic, as a robotic AI designed human woman, you know, self talking and all that, thanking the judges for being chosen and all. And you see, you look at it, it looks so real. We've entered a phase in the world where soon even videos cannot be a good enough evidence, because AI is, the way AI is coming up is scary, and it's serious, because we have, the systems are just coming up and making things better, improving things in a faster way, and in a way which it sometimes you see sets of pictures and it's difficult to even decipher whether this is a real human being or this is a deepfake. And that's where we are. AI is taking everything. But there's one AI news which I'm not comfortable with at all. That one, when you cross into church, then becomes a problem. Pulpit AI aims to help pastors use artificial intelligence to preach beyond Sunday services. You know, when I saw this, I said it to a friend, actually, this one, you know, let me read and then I'll talk about this. A new artificial intelligence platform aimed at helping pastors preach their sermons more effectively is set to launch later this month. Pulpit AI, created by Michael Whittle and Jake Sweetman, will be released officially July 22nd and will include both free and paid versions, according to both men. Whittle is based in Nashville, while Sweetman is senior pastor of Cathedral Church in Los Angeles, which he and Whittle began. The two have been friends for over 10 years, Whittle told Fox News Digital in a Zoom interview. The Pulpit AI is a generative AI app that allows churches and pastors, church leaders, to upload any version of their sermons. Whittle said that includes audio, video, manuscript, or outline, he said. Then our app automatically turns the sermon into all kinds of associated content that a pastor or a church could need based on that sermon, he said. This includes, but is not limited to, devotionals, discussion questions and guidelines or guides for small groups, newsletters, social media content, really anything that a church would need to communicate with its congregation, Whittle said. The idea of Pulpit AI came from a desire to communicate a sermon to the congregation more effectively, whilst at the same time creating less work for the church staff. I kind of ran into Sweetman one day and said, hey, what if we could build a tool that lets us just upload a sermon to an app? And what if it could turn it into just a devotional that our congregation could read every day of the week based on the sermon, Whittle recounted. The two then asked a team member of Cathedral Church that what she thought of the idea. She was like, yeah, this would save hours of my week if we could do this, Whittle said. So that was the kind of the genesis of it. I have a problem because, you see, yes, AI will generate the sermon into devotionals, whatever, newsletters. But you see, when it comes to devotionals and what any content that is being delivered to God's children, or I mean, whatever we call it, members or followers and all that, it should be spirit-led. You see, because when, you see, I know I can cite instances, you know, the number of listeners who are on my broadcast list every morning. I have a morning list I send, a devotional I send, WhatsApp broadcast list and all that. Quite a number of the listeners are on. I mean, I just don't type a message and just send for typing sake or sending sake. It should be spirit-led. I have instances where to the glory of God, instances where someone, for instance, was about to commit suicide that day, had planned and everything. And that day, for whatever reason, the Spirit prompted me to write about suicide. So when he read it, then he rescinded the decision to commit suicide that day. I mean, there are several others. You know, so if you say AI should be the one to just generate a sermon for that day and send, I mean, you see, this is where the problem comes in. In as much as technology, yes, there are instances where we can use AI for some things, but not disseminating God's word. That one, I mean, seriously, it's wrong. It's wrong because we should allow the Holy Spirit to lead and direct. God knows the needs of people for that day. And what, so it may not, the sermon that you have prepared may not be what someone needs in the course of the week. So if you say the AI should just automatically pick portions of the sermon automatically and just send, it may not solve. If somebody is planning to commit suicide that day and you did, the preaching has nothing to do with suicide, and so what happens? You know, so we should be led by the Holy Spirit, because a devotional can mean you can send something, a devotional for a day, that day, and it the whole essence of that message may be just for one person. So this is when Spirit, the Holy Spirit is leading, he knows how to do things. But you see, this is a danger line where AI is coming, and if we are not careful, then we begin to let some things which we should allow the spirit himself to lead, then we automate it, let a computer, some robotic bots, something decide what someone should read as a devotion. I think it's wrong. Okay, I think I left this news item. I skipped this one. Yeah, this one. A cult leader who declared himself a living God, quote unquote living God, in order to seduce followers, says miracles performed to prove his divinity were magic tricks. So an alleged cult leader accused of declaring himself a living God in order to abuse his followers sexually, says the miracles he performed to prove his divinity were in fact just magic tricks meant to entertain. So Rajinder Kalia is being sued in the High Court over claims he groomed members of his temple to believe he is an incarnate of God, while subjecting women and children as young as 4 to horrific sexual abuse. Mr. Kalia, head priest at his Hindu-based temple in Coventry, allegedly performed miracles, including setting fire to water and squeezing blood from lemon to convince devotees. The claimant's barrister, Mark Jones, put to him that he had performed the tricks in order to persuade followers that he has supernatural powers. But Kalia denied all the allegations against him and told the courts he was merely entertaining his followers. It's entertainment, he told the judge, Mr. Justice Martin Spencer, before adding in response to cross-examination, "Does a magician tell about his abilities? I have told you before," he added, "I was entertaining." You know, this is Hinduism, but I can tell you that we are having similar things happening in the body of Christ as well, where, I mean, some of the things happening, it borders on entertainment. I mean, some of the so-called prophetic moves and the things some prophets are doing and the things is next to entertainment, and it's just worrying how believers, well, one friend of mine, they said those people, I don't even call them believers, because you realize people are just hoodwinked, deceived, gullible, anything you can describe, and they are just following these things. They are just following these things. You see, we were warned. Deception, we were warned. But believers, some believers are just refusing. Anyway, the last news item. During the International Bird Flu Summit in Washington, D.C. in coming October, they will discuss mass fatality management planning. Let me pause and then talk about something. In 2019, September, there was an event called Event 201, I believe, Event 201. This event, they discussed COVID, simulated it, how it would kill, the various things that would happen. That was in September 2019. Come 31st December 2019, China officially talked about COVID. By early 2020, as we all know, COVID spread throughout the world. But as of September 2019, there was no COVID in the world. Nobody had heard COVID. Nobody. Except those who had planned it, and those who were planning, and those who had their agenda for whatever they intended to do. I've been talking about the bird flu. They've been warning about it. But come October, they are going to have International Bird Flu Summit. But the content is where the problem comes in. It's similar to what happened in Event 201. cry out to covet. Let me read some of, part of this report. We are being told that it is just a matter of time before there is a bird flu pandemic among humans. We are also being told that death rates during such a pandemic could be somewhere between 25% to 50%, and that should deeply alarm all of us. We have already seen the intense fear that a pandemic with a death rate of far less than 1% can cause. I mean, that's referring to COVID. Can you imagine what a pandemic with a death rate of somewhere between 25% to 50% would look like? Wow, that would be serious. Because, I mean, COVID, look at the numbers of COVID. I mean, it's far, 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 nowhere near the deadly way they made it look for the world. But then, if 25%, that's for every one in four people that gets it will die, or two in four people will die, then the world is really up to something. But then many of us don't even want to think about going through another major pandemic, but one may be coming anyway. Right now, many among the elite are deeply focused on the threat that the bird flu poses. An international bird flu summit will be held in Washington, D.C. from October 2nd to 4th. And according to official brochure for the event, they will be discussing a highly virulent strain of bird flu affecting both cattle and humans. Welcome to the International Bird Flu Summit, where we address the pressing concerns surrounding the recent developments in avian influenza. With the emergence of the highly virulent strain of bird flu affecting both cattle and humans, it is imperative that we come together to discuss preparedness, response strategies, and the future implications of the evolving situation. A bird flu pandemic would be far worse than anything that we've been through so far. On the list of the topics for this summit, the very first one is mass fatality management planning. Mass fatality management planning. Former CDC director Robert Redfield recently told News Nation that he believes that a bird flu pandemic is coming, and that the death rate will be somewhere between 25% and 50%. A bird flu pandemic is inevitable, and it's only a matter of time before it strikes. They are too sure, very, very sure of it, that it's coming. Already, WHO itself has declared that there's a big pandemic coming. And it's like, and it's only a matter of time before it strikes, according to former CDC director Robert Redfield. Redfield's comments come amid mounting concerns over the detection of the virus in dozens of cattle heads across the U.S. and first reported human death in Mexico. In a recent interview with News Nation, Redfield expressed his belief that a bird flu pandemic is highly likely. I really don't think it's very likely that we will. It's very likely that we will at some time, he said. But you see, the parallels with the the COVID one, that's event 201, is too close to call. See, they had already planned it. I mean, for anyone who doesn't believe they planned it, then please better get your information right. It was a planned thing. They simulated it. They knew it was. See, then they spoke the same way as they are speaking now, very sure that it will come. Very sure it will come, and indeed it came. And now they are the same blueprint is being followed. But what amazes some, and some are even worried, is the fact that the timing of it, the COVID one was just prior to US elections, and for those who know, it was used to do whatever they would do with their mail-in ballots and all that. And here comes the US election again. And you see, these globalists always doing things to, you know, have their way and all. But the way they've been warning and pushing and warning, that they realized that the COVID wasn't as wild as they thought it would be. We heard various statements, Bill Gates' wife saying Africans are going to die, like whatever, and we didn't die as they expect. You know, so they had a higher expectation of deaths than the reality. So, you see, they would want a far more serious one, you know, that would really cause people to fear more. And, you know, since we know that it was a lab work, And then, you know, creating things in the lab is not any difficult thing for them. Then whatever lab works they are doing now, indeed, is going to be something. But what can we do as believers? Ours is to pray and put our trust and our defense and our security in God's hands. Because that's the least we can do, to pray and trust in God. We cannot stop them. I mean, we cannot stop them. But it's only prayer that we can use as our weapon and as our shield and protection, because they will do what they want to do. But Psalm 91 still applies. So even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we know Psalm 23, Psalm 91, all the protective verses, pray them, because they are planning evil for the world. Yes, but we know the God that we serve, and we know fear is a spirit. We will not allow them to cause us to be afraid. All right, so this is Issues of Life. This is Eben. I will be back after this short break.
You're a fire, the refiner.
Report!
Squad 1 has been down in Sector 7, sir! The supplies are getting low! Casualties are at 35%!
Radio Squad 2 to pull back and regroup with Squad 1 in Sector 7!
Urgent message coming in from Squad 2, sir!
What is it?
This is Bravo 3 to Squad 2. Please repeat. Over. They want a pizza, sir!
What?
No anchovies!
In the midst of life's battles, what do you pray for?
So what'd they say?
We're supposed to regroup with Squad 1 in Sector 7.
No, what about the pizza?
They said, no.
Oh, man. Squad 1 asked for reinforcements and we have to go help. I ask for a simple pizza and I get nothing.
The Bible says when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Are you seeking God's will in your prayers? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio.
Oh, that'd be a very funny one. You know, asking for pizza at a war zone, you're not serious. But, well, that's how some believers behave, because our priorities are wrong. Okay, so we've been on this deception series for some time, and 2 Timothy 4:3 says that, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." I think this is the time we are seeing. I mean, sound doctrine is becoming rare in some instances because people just don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear sound doctrine, and it's very unfortunate. But so tonight, the 10th point we've gone through, the 9 points so far, you can listen to all the recordings on spiritissues.info or in the Telegram group as well. So the 10th point is, beware of strange doctrines. Strange doctrines. And this is quite serious because, we can see that some doctrines are just being cooked. It's just the pastor or the prophet or whatever, he just cooked his own doctrine and brought it to come and preach. And it's not supported by any biblical position. There's no verse that can be used to even hold on to it. It's just some weird doctrine. They just push it and people buy it. People accept it. People embrace it. People are happy about it. And they don't question it. Strange doctrines. And you these days you hear some that's just amazing. Recently I saw one. Believers, we can have a third eye. You know, third eye is for those in the occult. Why do we need a third eye as a believer? And this pastor's wife, I think she's also a pastor, teaching people how to have a third eye. You know, strange things, strange doctrines. And it's serious because, you see, when strange doctrines surface, the underlining force, the underlining spirit, cannot be the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's one thing we should understand. You know, so, you know, Hebrews 13:9 says that be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is good thing, it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not been profited them that have been occupied therein. But the emphasis, the first part, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. You know, how do we determine if a doctrine is strange? Out of nowhere, someone starts a new doctrine that is based on twisted scriptures or divine revelations that have no biblical support. No, we must be careful, because if someone uses his own misinterpretation of the scriptures to propose a new doctrine, there must be a clear biblical resistance to counter that. You know, it's recently someone asked me if putting on a tie is a sin. I mean, tie, as a man, putting on a tie is a sin. And apparently, someone is preaching that in Nigeria, and that if you put on a tie, you are going to hell. If you wear a suit, you are going to hell. I mean, when I heard it, I said, come on, I mean. So now, you know, all sorts of things. A tie, put on a tie as a man, you put it on, you are going to hell. I saw one some few years ago, if you put on a leather shoe, you are going to hell. And I said, ah. But if you read the Bible, John the Baptist had something leather on him. So, you know, but you see, they just say it, and people just follow, run with it. See, and so you see, if you come and tell me putting on tie is a sin, give me a reference in the Bible to justify why you say putting on a tie is a sin. But there will be no verse, but you just say, believe it. But we just can't believe something because you say we should believe it. The Bible should be our reference point. So if you come and tell me putting on a suit is a sin, where in the Bible did the Bible write about? Even suit was not in the dressing mode then, part of that. So how then, what is the basis? The portions that the Bible talks about, clothing, even that one, if you are to go by it, even mixing types of clothes, silk, and I mean that verse somewhere, but even that one, it's not applicable to us. But you see, we take things, but this suit one, for instance, I was just when I heard it, I was just laughing and wondering, so what is the basis for such a doctrine? What is the basis for such a doctrine? But people will believe it, they will not question it, and then it's established, and then after they have believed it, they also start propagating it as this is it, the Lord says. But the Lord said it where? If the Lord told your pastor that wearing a suit is a sin, he should come and give us a justification why putting on a suit is a sin. But then people just look on and just accept it and then embrace it. Then they embolden the establishment of this doctrine. Then it starts. You see, so this is how bad people just accept things without questioning. No biblical basis. And even there are instances where strange doctrines, the biblical verse, the verse that they attach to it, even doesn't, that's wrong interpretation. It doesn't even apply to it. But you see, because sometimes they need something to hold on to, so they try to force a verse to mean what it doesn't even mean. But because people are also not studying the Bible themselves, people are not reading the Bible, people are not allowing the Holy Spirit to use the word to let them grow in the word, in the faith, and all, they just, the fact that a verse is written does not mean, that is it. The verse must correspond with whatever doctrine that is being espoused. But if there's no correlation, there's no link, why should that be the basis to hold on to this doctrine? You know, sometimes I marvel, because we have this entire Bible for correction, for rebuking, for all the things, the good things and all that for us. And yet we leave all the many verses, the many chapters, the many principles, the many prophecies, the many prophecies, principles, promises of God. We leave all these things and then we want to create our own out of the Bible, outside the Bible, create our own doctrine, and then we want to hold on to it, enslave ourselves with it. I mean, to what end? You know, so believers have to be careful about these things. You see, deception has its strategies. Some are deceiving with the word, some are deceiving without the word. So with the word, twisting it to use it to deceive. You know, so this is why we should be careful about strange doctrines. And I like the way Hebrews puts it. Be not carried away, you know, carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. You know, some believers can be likened to like a balloon. The wind blows left, it blows them. The wind right, any doctrine, they hear this, they believe. Hey, they just moving, swinging pendulum. They believe this one, they move here, they believe this. Just confusing themselves, and yet they will not read the Bible themselves. They will not go and search the scriptures themselves to ascertain whether what they believe in or they claim to believe in is even having a biblical support. That's why we should know the word for ourselves. We should know the word for ourselves. It's serious. You know, so the principal thing is asking questions. But it's as if Christians, some are afraid to ask questions. So when they hear something, well, so that's it. So the fact that a man of God has said it is fine now. It cannot be fine now. If you want to ask a question, you should ask the question. But if you can't ask the question then, but you have questions in your mind, then go and ask the Bible. Go and ask the Holy Spirit to show you in the Bible. Go and research yourself. Ask questions. Don't just accept it without. So you have lingering doubts in you, but well, the fact that software academia and finance are no. You see, and this is what they know. Those who are deceiving and are deceiving, they know this aspect of type of mentality of Ghanaian Christians. So they use it, capitalize on it to deceive them all. Because they know that when they are even saying it, nobody is going to question them. The members are gullible. They will just follow blindly. They will clap for them. They will be saying the wow. Just, you know, they know people are so gullible with whatever they hear. So far as they revere them as men of God, whatever they say is fine now. So they will just say it, continue to deceive, knowing their members will not even go and research themselves to read for themselves whether it's in the Bible or not, to search further. No, they know it. So that's why they are emboldened the more to keep doing it. But we should decide to be people who study the scriptures ourselves, so that we will not just be blown away by any strange doctrines. In recent times, this week, yeah, I heard one U.S. pastor saying, hey, I mean, serious, that Jesus made mistakes 85% of his... I don't even know how to put it. 85% of his lifetime on earth, he got his calling wrong. And I was like, come on. So, I mean, what are you trying to say? And this 85%, based on whose calculation? How did you determine? You know, but he's saying it freely in the sermon, and people are there, and some are, excited about it. So you ask yourself, what is wrong with people? How can you say that the only time after his birth, the next time was that, 12 years age. Since apart from that, nothing else till his adulthood. So he's of the view that because it's that period that he was not, you know, we didn't hear of him. He was out of the will of God. And the pastor is preaching this. So 85% of his time, I don't know whether he's calculated the 33 years. So if he operated just 30 to 33 and a half years old, whatever calculation he did to arrive at, he was in the will of God only 15%
only he knows. But he says this. Then he goes on to say another, the miracle of Canaan, the wine, the wedding miracle. Even that one, too, Jesus made a mistake. And I mean, it's like, it's as if now people want to attack the Bible head on, without any shame, without any remorse. So there are those who are attacking Paul. Those who are even now directly attacking Jesus are doing so. And it's like, what's wrong with these people? And they have large churches. And people, you see, after saying such a thing, if the members were really sound in doctrine, having the fear of God, really Christians, the spirit filled and all that, the next Sunday the church should have been empty. But the next Sunday they will even go the more. It tells you, so that's why they are emboldened to keep deceiving, because they know when I say this, people will still come, because they now they don't even know the truth. I'm the one feeding them. This is what is happening. This is the worrying trend where people, it's as if they, I don't know whether some just enjoy being controversial or they just want to trend. I just don't know. But they are, whatever the cause and the reason is, they are attacking the word of God. They are denigrating the word of God. They are trying to elevate themselves sometimes higher than Jesus. They want to prove that they are better than Jesus. They are better. They know the word. Even, you know, some are behaving as if they know the word more than those who were inspired by the Spirit to write the word. So they want to correct the writers of the Bible, inspired writers of the Bible. They, coming after 2,000 years roughly afterwards, want to now correct those who were inspired then, the apostles, correct them. They didn't. They made a mistake. Come on. This is happening in our time. People are punching, trying to punch holes in what Paul said and all that. What Jesus said, and shouldn't have said it this way, should have said it that way. I mean, all these are strange doctrines. Strange doctrines. We are seeing them, we are hearing them, and I cannot assure you, we are going to even hear more wild ones. We've not seen the end of it. They are going to even come more. So we should rather be aware of these things and guard our hearts and know that we need the word more than ever before. Our foundation should be in the word. If it's not in the word, you cannot use the word to prove it. You cannot use the word to justify it. Well, then sorry, I won't take it. The word should be the basis of our beliefs. The doctrine should be based on the word. We cannot, you see, any doctrine that we cannot find its core base in the word, it's questionable. See, so we should be very careful about strange doctrines in these times, because see, the effect of a strange doctrine is meant to undermine your faith. It's meant to lure you away from the truth. It's meant to confuse you. It's meant to cause you to start questioning your faith, start questioning the word of God, the relevance of some things you've believed in. You see, it's like an undercurrent. It starts to erode your foundation. You've believed in the word of God, the foundation, the doctrine of Christ. You believe this, you believe that, you believed it all these years. Then suddenly you start following some strange doctrines which begin to undermine and erode undercurrent, your foundation. Then soon you start questioning what you believed in all these years. So that's how come you would have a believer who has been strong in the Lord all these years, starts going to a certain church, and then begins to question some things, starts wondering, it's like, you, so what has happened? And it's like, oh, this thing cries wrong, and start really, and you are amazed as to what happened. Strange doctrines can undermine your beliefs. And see, the devil, all he cares about is deceiving you. So whether he would twists it a little to deceive you, doesn't care, or deceive you full force without the word, he will do. Is it any means possible to deceive? And I always cite this example of poison, a little poison and much poison. The effect is the same. So if you poison a barrel of water with a little quantity of poison, strong poison, that whole barrel is contaminated and poisoned anyway. And if you pour that whole full poison into that full container, it's still poison anyway. So the devil doesn't care. I mean, so far as he can poison you, whether with a little doctrine, little small twisted one, or a full doctrinal change, complete change, either way, so far as it will work, he would apply it. And strange ones are coming. Strange doctrines are already in place, but stranger ones are coming, where we are going to hear things. And I keep saying these things because they are coming. That's why we should, you know, be alert about the season we are in, so that we are not caught off guard. Because nobody can say that, oh, I'm super immune to deception. No. I mean, it's just the grace of God that will keep us going, and our knowledge in the word, Holy Spirit leading us and all that. But we should not be too sure of ourselves that, oh, as for me, I'm beyond falling. No, we shouldn't be. But as we establish ourselves in the word more daily, and you know, we keep studying, reading, meditating, we keep praying, we do the fundamentals, we keep doing them consistently, we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, we allow him to teach us, we follow right doctrines, we follow right men of God, we do what has to be done biblically right and all that, then we stay in line. But as soon as we think, oh, we've had enough of it, we want some new doctrines, we want to hear new things. And this is one of the problems we are having with our time, where that's how come some of these strange churches just come up. You know, this week I saw one. He says what we should, they should put his face on the picture of Jesus for the next 500 years. So that means he's the new Jesus. And it's like, I was just laughing. Like, come on. And people are believing it. You know, there's something wrong with people. But people are believing it. People are believing it. You know, so it's unfortunate. But so far as we decide that we will not allow ourselves to be deceived, God will help us. And let's keep doing what has to be done. As we follow God's word, we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. He will keep us safe. It doesn't matter how many wolves come into the body of Christ, God will guide those who are allowing him to protect them, so that they will still be protected under his covering. So we thank God. And you know, it's important we really get the word of God as a major part of our lives, morning and evening. You know, Joshua 1:8 is clear about it. Meditate day and night. Meditate. You know, let's get the word into us more and more and more, because that is our surest way of staying afloat in the midst of the deception. That is our surest way of staying on track. The word of God. More and more of it. There's nothing like too much of the word. I mean, the more the better. The more we get to know the word, the better it is for us. Alright, so we thank God for this evening. This is Eben and the program Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. It's recorded, it will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group as well. Thank you for listening. Good night, and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet.